On the day of ApacheCon, I would like to introduce Anatole from Trivandis, who is going to speak about distributing configuration with Apache Tamiya.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So happy that at least there are more listeners here than presenters. That's always a good thing. For me, as he already introduced, I am working for a consulting company here in Switzerland, also here in Switzerland, here in Europe in Switzerland. Oh, more people coming. Please join. I worked a long time as technical architect and different stuff in big companies as well in smaller companies. And there you see my Twitter and I think Apache and the Trivaldi's mail, so enough to get in contact with me if you are more interested on the topic. What we are talking about is a bit introductory part. What is configuration? We go into some kind of the requirements for configuration, and then we go into the API, what Tamiya provides, what basically is the same, which also currently is in discussion with the Java EE configuration JSR that will probably start in the next weeks. With the details, a remote configuration, and how it is done with property sources, and at the end we do a small demo where we use a few things, JavaFX, Hazelcast, and MixUpFX with Tamiya. So we start with what is configuration? Good question, because when you ask 100 people, you get at least 200 opinions what configuration is. One thing of that kind of stuff here, that's an Ansible script. Other think more things like that. That could be that the first part is ini file format. The second one is a normal property format, as you know well from the Java space. But basically, also when we pass things on the command line, that is kind of configuration, be it on a Java or when we start a Docker container, because that ends up in the environment part. Or also when we think of what we have inside jars, for example, we have manifest files. That's basically also some kind of configuration, especially when you think on OSGI, where you have things added there. Or then our world-famous deployment descriptors, that it's a web deployment descriptor on the Java EE space. As everything that is coming from Oracle, it must be XML. I could now tell you about what all the disadvantages is here and why this is so inflexible. I assume you have more or less an idea. And winding up, then what are the dimensions of configuration somehow? First thing, locality. Where it is stored? Is it local on the machine? It's remotely on some servers? The first question. Second, is it mutable? Is it fixed? Is it loaded once? And then it will never change anything on the configuration side. And if it's mutable, which parts are the mutable and which are not? Isolation, if I allow configuration to change, or being changed, if one node, when I have multiple ones in the environment, be it on the same machine or on different hardware nodes or virtual machines, if something changes, is this change visible also to the others? Or when I change something in one context of configuration, it is also visible in another context or not? And next topic, think of Java EE. Everything that is added in Java EE is part of your jar or ear or bar. So everything you want to configure with Java EE must be clear at deployment or at build time even. You can have then system properties and things like that where you basically on deployment can add things, but you have then not that application scope that is there. Next question is, when I have configuration in place, wherever it is and whenever it was defined, when it is read, when it is may be updated if it's mutable? And is it also possible that it's deleted, that it will disappear somehow? Famous example for deletion is when I have entries that have only a certain lifetime to live, just because I have some coordination. In my demo, I will use the same mechanism, because I also there with time to live, ensure that if a display goes down, then also the entries are removed automatically from the cluster. So just given that, I would think about more for half an hour, there could be some more dimensions, but now I think you have an idea what configuration is. Yes? Perhaps. I give you a rounding up what I think what it should be. Because it's so complex, there is it's not possible to say exactly what configuration is. What you can say is you can build up a system that is capable of handling all these different kind of use cases and scenarios by a good kind of modularization, where you can fit together pieces to get things running the way you like it. Because every company makes it different. And even if you on the runtime environment you use, it may be different, and whatever. So first thing I think which is important is basically configuration is something like code. It behaves like code. You write XML or something in your IDE or whatever. It basically also behaves like code because it changes the behavior of your system somehow. It could have even bigger effects than just when you write or add some code in your code, some real code. It could basically switch off a behavior completely, depending on what it was built. And said that, the same thing, it should also be documented somehow. And if it's not done, let's say it's hidden or it's not clear, and then you start quickly to struggle with configuration. You don't know what to configure. If you configure something, it breaks your system, it doesn't happen anything, whatever. So it can be really, really, really hard. Next point, it should be declarative. With that I mean, the things you configure should be simple. Simple values, addresses, booleans, text, date, time objects, could even be some fixed lists or collections, something like that, but it should not be completely dynamic. Especially nothing that where you have then when you have when you add you can have expressions added where you have some enablement which evaluates to a boolean at the end. Why not? But if you add then a complete language as a possible value that evaluates to some kind of configuration expression, you end up basically building another language within your language, which makes definitely things not easier. So basically, I would assume configuration itself, it should not be code in the real form. And since when we think about that, we have systems that were now executed perhaps within containers, which are then scaled by some kind of infrastructure, be it Mesos, be it Kubernetes, be it something else. There is Java running in many containers, but there could be also other things running in that. If you then build up a configuration system, it should be so flexible that you also can consume configuration from non-Java clients or use a non-Java server, which is also then can be consumed by the Java client. So the things should stay interoperable as possible. And also said that, sometimes I think it's a bit difficult, and many of my Java colleagues struggle with it, but given with the development we have in the infrastructure part, Java is no more an island. The last decade, we scaled everything in Java, But with the new infrastructure components we have and Docker running, microservices style Java components, Java is only a small piece in the whole system. And scaling basically is not done in Java anymore. It's done in the infrastructure part. He said that as well. It must be remote capable. So it's important that my values can be sent around over the network. And that also implicitly results in some constraints. It points directly to the next point. Basically, configurations should be strings. The raw format of every configuration, it's just basically a map of string keys to string values, nothing more. Because everything you add on top adds complexity or issues with remote capabilities or with synchronization. A good anti-example, or an example what can happen if you try to do a configuration-styled thing, let's say with a real tree structure, is the preferences API you have in the JDK. It's relatively ugly, it's complicated to extend, it's inflexible, and it's completely synchronized. If you then go with high load on that API, you're lost, because the synchronization stops you more or less doing things fast. And because we have so many different parts that have to fit together somehow, and it's different in every company and in different use cases, configuration itself, there is no way around to then making it composable. Like code, where you have some kind of reuse, also in configuration, you should have some kind of reuse. So you can use the parts that you need and that you want, the functionality you want, and all the rest you don't want in your system, because it creates clutter or complexity. And on top of that, said that as well, when I have then, I want to add some, my own, whatever kind of configuration source, it should be rather simple to write it. I don't want to have a 10-page API with 20 methods to implement just to provide some values. And when you think of a microservice, it's possibly not that important. When you run your Java EE application, one application per whole Java EE or microservice microprofile container, it's also not that important, because basically you don't have that contextuality which is built in Java EE. But if you want to support Java EE the full way how it was meant to be run and executed, you need to have contextuality, because you could have different applications running in one container. So said that, you also have the different configurations running the same time in the same VM. So you need a way to support contextuality if it's needed. And that brings us then to the next details requirements. There, I made a distinction between the perspective of a developer, which is the first person which typically works with configuration, and operations on the other side, where configuration could be mainly some kind of hidden thing, because with the developer, also with DevOps, basically it defines everything that should be needed that it runs. But if something is broken, it would help if we have a common mechanism where also operations can can do some kind of analytics, what could be a problem. It would definitely help the communication between the different parties involved. So from a developer's perspective, I would say when I write code, I would just want to write a class, a component, whatever it is. I want to write it down. I think of what may make sense to make it configurable. It's a design decision. Not everything should be configurable. There are things that are completely correct to hard code it or whatever, do your assumption. Because if everything is configurable, also it gets a mess. But basically, as a developer, you just want to have, say, yeah, that makes sense. That aspect should be configurable. I add some kind of, perhaps an annotation on it, and just continue with the work. Could even set the default value, use Java idioms for that. Nothing has to change. I should not care at the start when I write the component that at the end, Tamaya or whatever system then is actually injecting or giving me the configuration from somewhere outside. Because that would add complexity to the developer's work, and that should not be the case. They said that the developers want to have the possibility to express default values, because the default values are typically the ones that are run when I then write my tests and my code is written, and they should be just there. I also don't want, at the early stage when I write a component, to care about the exact configuration runtime. I don't care if my component at the end, it's running in a test environment, it's running on a server, it's consuming remote configuration, or it's configured by persistent property. I just want to do something, make it configurable, and that's it. And then there are more the functional parts. Type safety, I said strings, but strings can be converted to some types. That should be also then be done by the framework, because the framework typically knows how a string could be converted into what the required type of something is. It should not the developer do that every time, because it's a common functionality that should be provided by the configuration solution. Injection is definitely more comfortable to use than the service locator pattern, where I have actively to go and catch configuration stuff. And the point here, the ultimate source of truth. If something is not working from whatever I get on configuration, from whatever source, I, as a developer, which bundles basically a deployment, should have the possibility to override something if needed. Because I know when something is wrong, and it's really cumbersome if I then am not able to override something. I have to call 3 departments with some colleagues. They have no idea until they have to, and then I have to do pull additional changes, add new versions of stuff just because of one thing was not overridable. So the developer should have the possibility to override something. Architectural or design requirements. One of the main targets of Tamaya is not only that developers have a more easy life and that we stop to re-engineer configuration on every project multiple times, it also has the effect that we can really decouple the backends and the ways how we store and manage configuration from the consumer side where it is used in the component. And that makes it very, very interesting, especially when I am writing software components like in the Apache Foundation that are reusable in different projects, in different areas, or then used in different companies. Because we then can, with Tamaya, we have a backend where we can integrate also any kind of company backends that is already there, which makes integration with existing runtime environments much more easier. The same, it's not only the location that we decouple, because we decouple also from the format that is effectively used, if it's distributed or not, and basically also what is the exact life cycle. Because we just ask the configuration system, give me configuration. We don't have to care about at that time how it is handled and managed. And we can also, because the configuration component is a central component which is accessed from everywhere, we can add additional functionality. Be it security constraints that we want to have in place, that we hide some values, that we map values, whatever. And also another use case which is quite interesting, we can also track usage of values. We can exactly say in Tamaya there is a component which does that for you, where you can give you out a list of all the configuration accesses with the keys accessed, with the values returned, and the places in the code that has done that kind of access. So you get additional information out of your system that would be quite complicated to find it out. Operational, when I have a common configuration system in between, I can use that to hook in my additional tools that help me to know what is happening. That is one thing that for operations is interesting. So I not only see some containers popping up and do hopefully the right thing, I can also have with the configuration backend in between some kind of intermediate layer where I can hook in with my tools, where I can see, for example, what are the values that are really used for running. In case of some strange errors, that might be helpful. On the same side, with that layer in between, and if the components are well known that they can also cope with changing and dynamic values, I can also use that from an operations perspective to change things without redeployment or restarting things. Restarting things, but I don't have to rebuild the Docker container, for example, where things are running. I just restart the container, and it should then take the new configuration with the additional changes. Other aspects, some of them I mentioned. I have a possibility for creating constraints or views on the consumer side. I have also to see that as a special use case, that if I log my configuration out to some system out, that I mask things that may be secret. As I said, they could be mutable. And if we have mutability, typically you want to have some kind of a possibility to observe the changes. So some triggers or observers that can be registered. You want perhaps some kind of validation that if a system starts up, you can quickly say there's something wrong with the configuration because something is really makes no sense, and also give a hint why or what should be there. And as I said, you can track usage and trace the usage of the configuration in your system. Now, let's go and look for some code. First, what we in the Tamaya project basically was the outcome of the first trial about 3 years ago now, I think, where I was working with Credit Suisse, tried with Oracle together to put that Java EE configuration JSR into life. Due to political reasons, that was not possible at that time. But we said then, together with some colleagues here also from the Apache Foundation, don't let die that whole initiative. That was the starting point where we created the Tamaya project in the Apache Foundation. And this is basically the main targets we had. We want to have a unified API for access, for extending or combining configuration using a composition mechanism. It should be accessible on different platforms, especially in the Java space. It should not run only in Java EE, but also in Java SE, because we already saw a couple of years ago, that Java EE may be not the end of the story for the next two decades. And to support configuration as a service. So to have backends pluggable into it. The dependencies you as of now can use for using it, for trying it out. Basically, it's only even only that one here, because the API is transitively taken here. We are currently working on the null 0.3 version. Oh, that's not Tom. It's incubating snapshot here. It's not snapshot. It's incubating. That's an error. Sorry for that. where some of the features I will show you afterwards are not yet in 0.2 there, but in 0.3. About end of the year, it should be definitely out. That's the simplest API. That's the programmatic Java API without injection. You have a configuration provider as an accessor simpleton, which gives you a configuration. That's the global default configuration. With that, you can access string values, either with get or default or with get. You also have type conversion in place. Basically, every box type, every kind of enum that is in the system works out of the box. If an enum is not yet, or even if a class is not yet known before, if it's an enum, it's simple. We dynamically create then the converter that is needed. If it's another class, we look for constructors or different things that typically could match to create a converter that is capable of converting the string to the target object. So in many cases, if your target object has a sensible way of constructor or static factory method to create based on a string a new instance, it will work out of the box. If you want to have something different, then you have to explicitly register a converter for that class. As well, you can also access all the properties, the full configuration map. Said that, there are property sources which are not able to return all the values they have. So, and that's completely okay. This map is also defined on the JavaDoc that this map could have values missing that you would get if you would access them explicitly. Because not all property sources are what we are calling scannable. If you have then an additional injection module in place, you can also have, that's another slide will show that as well. You just say, give me the injector and pass, and you can ask then here for an interface, and you can also annotate an interface, and we will create a proxy where the getter methods then here are backed with the configuration values. So that gives you a very type-safe way of configuration where you can have configuration defined as an interface. We call that template. Other frameworks also provide that feature as well. And then we also have a builder panel. You can also go to the configuration provider and organize you a context builder where you say here, oh, my property sources, I need environments. Environment properties, system properties, and the Hazelcast property. That's exactly code from the demo we'll see later. Which means system properties are stronger than environment properties and Hazelcast properties are stronger than system properties. We add the default property converters that are in place. We could also add our own additionally, or we can only add our own and leave the defaults out because the builder is really... If you start with a new builder, it's completely empty. So you can completely define how the configuration context that you build here looks like. And at the end, with a context, you can go to the provider and let you create the configuration, which is the accessor API, and the context is basically the building blocks that build up the configuration. I will have a slide also to show you how that works later. For injection, I show you the SA part here. If you have some kind of microservice architecture and not Java EE in place. With Java EE, there is just the API for all injection is always the same, that are the annotations here. And then depending if you are running on SE or you have CDI in place or something like that, there is a different module you have to take here. As always, replace snapshot with incubating. And with injection in place, it looks quite simple. You have config annotations. You can add default values. You can also leave the default values off and use Java idioms here instead of. Would work as well. You can also have a multiple that is basically a value here on the config. It's an array. You can have multiple values, meaning the first key is looked up. If it could be evaluated, that value is used. If not, the Maya looks for the next key. That is a nice mechanism when you have things like where you have all deprecated keys and you have switched something to something to a new location. You can first look the deprecated or first look the new location and afterwards also look up the deprecated one if nothing is found. You can also, it's not there, leave off that just annotate with config, then the field name here would be used. The same mechanism is also working on setter methods as well. Or, as we saw before, with the interfaces on the getter methods then when we use templates. Now remote. Let's go remote. First, why is remote configuration so important? I mention it because microservices run in containers on some platform. Even a Docker container basically is a platform, but if you want to go a bit more into production, you have bigger things running on it. As mentioned, Kubernetes, Mesos, or Docker Swarm, stuff like that. And in that case, you have then your microservice containers, your platform, and perhaps you have your containers where you're running your clustered configuration stuff on it. Could be etcd. Tamaya also has modules for console and for Hazelcast. That's all we have as of now. You can easily add your own. It's quite easy. And the good thing is that regardless what you use in your containers, if it's Spring, OSGi, TomE, Vertex, EE, or just Java SE plain, it's always the same. It's Tamaya can be included everywhere and consume it. You can also mix that. And if it's not a Tamaya client, you depending on the server systems, typically you have REST calls, etcd, as well as console. There are REST interfaces where you can consume things. You just don't have to use them. Actually, we have some struggles to get OSGi really running, but basically it replaces the config admin service, and you can choose if Tamaya is extending the values that are already there or overwriting them. That's the idea. Good. You have the service registry in OSGi. You can see what is already there. And you can replace it with your implementation, but you can take the one that was.
Admin, but it's a new implementation.
I
thought it would replace in the sense of no configuration admin anymore. It's only Tamaya.
No, that makes no sense because it would be add an additional layer to what the OSGi already does. It makes no sense. It has to cooperate with the OSGi logic. Also, what we do then in that case in OSGi, we also, because Tamaya is using by default the service loader, which is not running in OSGi, so we use also there the OSGi service logic for registration and read the files ourselves, something like that. But we have struggled, it was running once, and currently we would very, very happy if somebody with good OSGi know-how could help us. We already built OSGi bundles. I was playing around with the Karaf stuff that I can get all the stuff running, but I just was stuck somehow. It's only a few things I think that are missing. But somebody with good OSGi, I know how I would say run 2 hours of work and it would run would be very good. Yeah, exactly. And of course, when you have then containers, especially with Docker, there's only one way besides remote consuming configuration, how you get configuration into a container. that all is the environment mechanism. It can be port when you build your Docker file, but then again you have build time configuration. Or when it's run here, you can pause environment properties with the run command. And this is supported by all major runtimes. So be it Kubernetes, be it Mesos, Marathon, all that stuff works perfectly with environment properties. You can add them and provide them into the container. But honestly speaking, you will not pause 10 or 20 configuration entries here typically. It's much more easier to tell the container where he finds his configuration and let the container go to some remote location to find all the configuration that is needed.
So are we configuring the Docker or are we configuring the Docker image file or just the SDK or what?
I would assume the most simple thing is configure the Docker containers, that the Docker containers are looking up remote configuration with the correct DNS name or something like that. And then the remote access goes via that DNS name to some kind of configuration server which gives you then what you need actually. And now when you use Tamaya, how Tamaya, what must we do to connect such a remote configuration service into what we have seen in the API? The mechanism here are property sources. And that is now the core part of Tamaya. That is the whole design of the whole stuff. It's not more. Basically what we have, I go on this side, we have an ordered list of property sources, which defines also the overriding priority. So the first property source that returns a non-null value, that is basically the value that is normally then used as a raw value. Raw value means because there is a combination policy which defines a function which combines the previous red value and the new red value to the final value of each step here. Why? Because when you think of that you add here within the configuration meta information, and you for example then try to evaluate or to implement collections, lists, overriding, just replacing the older value with a newer value is not always what you want. In the collection part, sometimes you want to collect all the values you have and to make it up in a bigger list. And to control such things, there is the combination policy. Here at the end, also what also is there, take that from people, there are property providers, which is nothing than a factory which dynamically produces property sources. Property sources can be registered implicitly, each one directly, using the service loader by default, or you can register a property provider which then can create a collection of property sources that are added. Example, when you have a directory with configuration files, you don't know in advance how many files are in there, so you have to write in a property provider which is evaluating all the files in the directory, and for each file typically creates at least one property source. There are complex cases where you would even return multiple property sources per file. With the raw value then, which is a string, goes to it's only filters, that all the filters are ordered. And they are also then iterated over until basically nothing in the configuration is changing. Of course, to prevent endless loops, after a certain amount of iterations, which simply stop with iteration, you can configure how many that should be, because it always is possible that filters would change each other. You would never come out here of that loop. But that will not happen. And at the end, you have here then the final string value. If you want to access the string value, basically it's fine to return the string value. If it's something typed, you have an additional step where a property converter converts the type the string value to the type required. And all that kind of logic, that is what the configuration context contains. Configuration context contains all the converters, the filters, and all the property sources and the policy. And that is that what you do, what you then create with the builder we have seen, you create the context. And the configuration is just the API around it, which ensures that that logic here is correctly applied. Everything here is here in a very, very small. It's very small. It's also not a good slide because there's so much written on it. There's one more thing. That's the service context manager. That is the one that in the OSGI case is replaced by something else, because every component that is registered by default with the service loader can also be registered in other ways, be it with the OSGI mechanisms in OSGI, be it as a CDI managed bean when you have an ED container, for example. And with the service context here, we have an abstraction that we can even adapt Tamaya to that kind of different runtime. So we can even add property sources, especially that are then registered as managed bean in a CDI environment. Of course, we cannot use Tamaya with, or at least that part of property sources, then to configure CDI itself, because for that we have to be ready before CDI starts. But for the application part of configuration, we can do such things. So what exactly is then a property source? That's it. It's quite simple. You have access for single values, for all values. You declare if you are scannable. You have a name. The name should be unique. If you don't have a good name, like a path to the file you have effectively read or something on the VM, you can also just return a UUID or something like that. It's not an issue. And you have an ordinal. In the default case where we load everything automatically, out of that service registry, the ordinals are used for defining the order of property sources, so the priorities between the different sources. And the reason why here it's in code, it allows you to even add in your configuration a key, tamaya.ordinal, where you can overwrite the ordinal with your configuration. That makes it quite flexible. So that there you have a possibility to add a property source and define with your configuration that it should override something. It should be stronger than something else. The property value itself here, that if you don't have a key, you just can return null. If not, you have that one here. There is also a builder around it. Everything is there. You don't have to implement it. It's a bit more than just a value, because each value can have also multiple entries. It's a multi-value, basically, because there is a value and there are possible arbitrary number of meta values. Where you can, for example, we use that mechanism to also return version numbers and TTL timestamp from EDCD or something like that. And the same value can also be used on the other way around when writing configuration to pass additional parameters to the property source so they can support such things like TTL. As mentioned, yes, there could be except one file or resource or backend, that's mostly the case. Could be multiple ones. The name should be unique. A property source must be thread safe. It can be dynamic. It's not required that the values returned are always the same. They can change. There may be logic around it that must handle that if it should not be changeable. Provides an auditable and optionally can be scalable. And we have obviously a number of predefined property sources. We have system and environment properties, CLI arguments. There you have to write the glue code between the main, where the stuff is incoming out, and the CLI properties, because we don't have access to the main properties directly. You can read files, class buffer resources, etcd console, simple. The simple property source is one where you add your own key values just programmatically. And obviously, it's not that simple to just implement the whole interface on your own. There is also a base property class, property source class, which also takes away some of the recurring logic. As we see here, that's my property source. It's a hash map. We read here some XML, and we just put them into the map. We have here some name. We return the properties, and we extend here that base property source. So quite easy. Now, but when we have written a property source, how to register it or make Tamaya aware of it? Two options. We register it as a default using service loader or something like that, or we use the builder and explicitly build up our own configuration and register the whole configuration as default configuration. First thing, service loader, nothing new. We have for the property source that file, and we have to add the fully qualified class name. And if that is picked up as a default, and the ordering is used for determining the priority between the others that may be loaded automatically. If you want to have more control, you can use the builder. It's the same thing we have seen before, which add property sources or add converters. Which one? This one or then the one that are typically registered with the service loader. And then we can say set configuration. And the configuration provider replaces then the configuration with our new build one. That's exactly what in the demo is also running. So you have both possibilities. You can use the API only, or you can also use the factory and could be the default one. You can put that configuration also somewhere else in your system, depending on how you want to use configuration. As mentioned, some things not discussed further. We have providers, filters, converters, the policy, and especially to mention this one here. The configuration provider itself has also an SPI, so you can replace the whole configuration provider. You can define how the factory or the builder is implemented. When you get configuration, you can add contextuality if you want to like that. So you can do that by replacing the SPI here. By default, it's not contextual. It's just a singleton which loads one instance and just returns always the same. So, Tamaya provides a unified API for building and accessing configuration, property sources, filters, converters, and an SPI to add more advanced stuff. What else? Well, now we have everything we have seen. We have to code relatively much for adding and building and whatever. When you think of logging systems, you add a logback.xml, log4j.xml, where you just say, that's all my handlers, that are my log levels with that kind of severity, and you are done. Some kind like that could also be possible for configuration, I would say. So we could define some Tamaya config.xml. That is a feature that is not yet there. It's currently in development. And also, it was some of the things we discuss currently within the Java EE JSR, let's say, team, though the JSR is not officially running, but we also showed that at the other conferences. And the idea how it could look like is something like that, where you have some context parameters where you define global stuff. You could have some expression language, expressions for define if something is enabled or not. You could have types or class names here. You can explicitly define ordinals. Nevertheless, the relationship between explicit ordinals and the ordering here must be discussed. But basically, if you have that in place, something like that, it's quite easy. You have to add one such configuration file, ensure that the stuff that you are using is on the class path and you are done. So, demo. It's a small project. We have Java 8 in place. It's JavaFX based. There's so you can see something. Vertex is running inside. Basically, we create some kind of displays with some title and some content and the display name. The displays, when they are start up, are registering themselves within the configuration by writing configuration. And there is a display manager which reads the same configuration from the same Hazelcast cluster, and based on that gives me a small UI where I can set and change the title and the name and the content of a display. So with that, the display then should change everything. Shown. Let's see if I am good enough to handle the machine here. So you see here, that's our first display. Make it a bit smaller. We start another one. And we also start then a display manager. What you see here in the monitor is that just are the updates that are sent via the Vertex event bus. But basically, this box here is based on the configuration. So I see here, I can select based on the UUID. I don't know which one exactly that now is. I can just reset, say, display one, some content, and also can here, instead of, say, he should now say this one, and now chuck, and I see here, this one was that one. Here also the list now is adapted because the configuration has changed. Now I can do the same thing. For the second one. And here it is. It looks quite simple. When you now here go to the configuration tab and say refresh, we see that's the full configuration, that everything that Tamaya is aware of. You also see much of the underscore entries, which are meta entries, where you, for example, here see that the Java specification name.source is a system property, actually, that was coming into the place. That's the one of the common usage of that meta-inf, that you know the source of the value you see. Because in case of error lookup or error analysis, that is a very useful information. And you also here see, here are all the displays and the display-related values. Now, to make that readable, I can also easily filter that, so we only don't see them. By the way, filtering here is also an extension in Tamaya. There's a functional singleton where I can have functional extension points, and one of them is where I can filter for configuration sections, which just is every key that starts with that name displays. I see here the entries with the UUIDs, and then I see here content, display model, display name, timestamps, and the titles, and that's basically is the mechanism that is now here playing in the back between these components. It's quite simple, but it shows relatively good how easy it is to build something with Tamaya. It's the code is also there currently. It's on the Tamaya main repo. There is an example directory. But there are many more examples around, but currently we are rebuilding and changing the structure a bit So give us a few days until the examples are all in place again.
Sorry.
Yep. Oh, I thought I have 5 minutes. This is a summary. We have a complete solution. Everything is there. Basically, everything you will get with the Java EEJS JSR is already in place. We will definitely implement also the API as well. And there are also many, many extensions there for everything. And if you like it, use it, tell the other colleagues, and if you have time, we definitely are looking for people helping us in the different areas, especially in the coding part. It's a small project, so it's a good point for entry the Apache space, because it's really not a big project. Some links, and that's it.
Thank you all.